Oddly enough, welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC. That's at Emory and Henry College. WEHC is your college and community station, FM 90.7, and also streaming on the web. If you go to ehc.edu, you can find us, or you can go to wehcfm.com, I think it is. In any case, the best way to go is to ehc.edu. And each week, Wombats and Music is my chance to play for you things I love. And tonight I've got a wombat. A wombat is something I consider a little odd or different or strange, something other than a recorded piece of music by a professional artist. And tonight's wombat will be a discussion of a controversial area. We're going to start off with a banjo played by Hobart Smith. Hobart Smith, let me read you his biography, just a brief part of it. Hobart Smith was born near Saltville, Virginia in 1897. The oldest son of eight children born to Levine and Alexander King Smith. Hobart believed ballad singing tradition in his family dated back at least seven generations to when the Smiths immigrated from England. Both of Hobart's grandfathers were fiddle players and his parents were banjo players. So Alan Lomax went to Saltville and recorded him, and then later in the 60s with the folk revival, Hobart Smith became popular. And so I have a piece played on the banjo by Hobart Smith. It's old-time style and clean and simple and, to my mind, transcendently beautiful. That was Hobart Smith of Saltville, Virginia, playing a banjo tune, and quite an interesting performance. Next up is something fairly modern. This is I Will Remember You by Sarah McLachlan, a Canadian singer. Now, I talk about leavers and leavees. This is a situation where the person is looking back at someone probably that they love, probably a romance, but it could be anyone in your life whose memory is seared into you, and you remember them strongly, and then you wonder, do they remember you?
I will remember. so afraid to love you, more afraid to lose. Clinging to past that doesn't let me choose. Once there was a darkness, deep and endless night.
That was Sarah McLachlan, obviously in a live concert, singing I'll Remember You. Next up is Randy Travis. This was his 16th number one country single, Three Wooden Crosses. And the story is that these three people died on a bus. And one was a preacher, one was a farmer, and one was a hooker. And the only other people mentioned on are the bus driver and the driver of the truck that ran into them. So the song asks, why only three? Why did the others survive? Anyway, this is Three Wooden Crosses. It was a big hit that year, song of the year, country music and stuff. And I just heard it recently, and I liked it a lot.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign. 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home and 80 acres, the faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he lay his blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's a story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
Three Wooden Crosses by Randy Travis. I noticed at the end of the song that the singers, the speaker, I should say, I guess, in the song, said that the Bible was given to him by his mother. So I guess his mother was the hooker. Huh. Interesting. Well, the rest of the show is heavily weighted with 50s songs. And I didn't intend it that way. It just sort of turned out. And you'll find out, these are my favorites from the 50s. I had a lot of favorites, but I went to high school and graduated in 1957. So I was right in the middle of the 50s music stuff, and each of these were special to me. Next one is called Come Go With Me by the Del Vikings from 1956, and I remember it well.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, that was Come Go With Me by the Del Vikings. I don't take requests as a rule, partly because I don't get any requests, but I'm open to requests. If anyone wants me to play a song, I'm more than willing to listen. Of course, the criteria is it has to be a song I love. So, if I've never heard it, I've got to listen to it and see if I love it. If it's one I've played on the show before, well, clearly I love it, so that's a good thing to request. Well, recently I got a request for Blueberry Hill by Fats Domino. And it is indeed a song I love. So it's coming up now. It was recorded in 1956, the same year as the last one, Come Go With Me. Fats Domino had quite a career, many hits. And I remember when Chubby Checkers hit the scene, and clearly a takeoff on the name Fats Domino. And I thought, here's a guy who's going nowhere because all he's done for fame is to make up a good name. But of course, Chubby Checkers had his own great career. And then I got wondering about maybe if we could think up some other combinations of things implying overweightness and games, you know, plump parcheesi or something. There probably are lots of great combinations. Oddly enough, it too was recorded in 1956. However, though the big hit version of Blueberry Hill was 1956 by Fats Domino, it turns out that the song was written in 1940, and almost every major musician recorded it before Fats Domino made it a hit. Here are some of the ones that recorded it. Sammy Kaye, Gene Krupa, Glenn Miller Band, Gene Autry, Jimmy Dorsey. All of them made recordings of this song, and actually the Glenn Miller version of it went to number one. But still, Louis Armstrong also recorded it, and it charted. But Fats Domino did the definitive version of it, and that's what we're going to hear now. So this is Fats Domino singing a requested song, Blueberry Hill. Blueberry Hill by Fats Domino. Now, the next song is not from 1956, and it's not a 50s tune. It's a country music thing, more of a traditional thing, Just a Rose. There are a number of songs talking about when I die, bring me just a rose, or bring me a rose now while I live, because after I'm gone, I won't appreciate it. But Just a Rose Will Do is the name of this song, and beautiful harmony, traditional music.
Oh, the time has come for me leaving. I'll bid this world adieu. Don't spend your money for flowers. just a rose will do. I'm a-going to a beautiful garden after this life's work is through. Don't spend your money for flowers, just a rose will do. I don't want no weeping and wailing when I have passed away. Just have some old time singing as they lay me neath the clay. I'm a-going to a beautiful garden after this life's work is through. Don't spend your money for flowers, just a rose will do. Just have an old-time preacher to preach the gospel so true. Don't want no fancy decorations, just a rose will do. I'm a-going to a beautiful garden after this life's work is through. Don't spend your money for flowers, just a rose will do.
Was Just a Rose Will Do. The next song is from 1954. It's called Speedo by the Cadillacs, and I don't know why I like this song as much as I do, but indeed I do. And one interesting thing is I played it one time while visiting my wife's granddaughter Josie, and it stuck in her mind, and she went around singing it for a while when she was about 7. So this song has legs. It can speak to future generations. So this is Speedo by the Cadillacs.
Boom, boom, boom.
Nobody ought to call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Nobody ought to call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Folks' girl. Well, now they all can call me Speedo, 'cause I don't believe in wasting time. Well, now they all can call me Speedo, 'cause I don't believe in wasting time. Well, I'm known for pretty women, and that caused them to change their mind. Well, now some may call me Joe, some may call me Mo. Yes, ma'am, a Speedo, he don't never take it slow. Well, not he all can call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Not he all can call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Call me Joe. Yes, ma'am, a Speedo, he don't never take it slow. Well, not he all can call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Well, not he all can call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. And now they gonna call me Speedo till they call off making pretty girls.
That was Speedo by the Cadillacs. The next song is also from 1954, and it was probably my all-time favorite 50s song. It's called Earth Angel, and it's sung by the Penguins. I just was totally mesmerized by this song. Who knows why people get attached to particular songs? Apparently there were two versions of this, one by the Penguins, the one we're going to hear, and one by the Crew Cuts. I think one was popular on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. Both were big hits. I was in Venezuela, so what did I know? But I love this song. I got the 45, and I practically wore it out. So this is Earth Angel, which, by the way, was a great song to dance slow to when you were a teenager. Earth Angel by the Penguins.
Darling dear, love you all the time. I'm just a fool in love with you. Earth angel, the one I adore. Love you forever and ever. Just a fool in love with you. I fell for you, and I knew the vision of your love, loveliness. I hoped and I prayed that someday I'll be the vision of your happiness. Oh, Earth Angel, Earth Angel, please be mine. My darling dear, love you all the time. I'm just a fool in love with you. Of your lovingness, I hope and pray that someday that I'll be the vision of your happiness.
Oh, Earth Angel, Earth Angel, please be mine, my darling dear. Love you all the time. Just a fool in love with you.
You.
That was Earth Angel by the Penguins from 1954. Well, it's time to take a break, tell you who we are, what we're doing, and have our wombat. You're listening to Wombats in Music, and I'm your host, Harry Baya. I bring you the show on Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC FM 90.7, your college and community station from Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. And it's my chance each week to play for you my favorite songs, the songs I love, and occasionally throw in something like I'm going to now, a wombat. Well, this is going to be a discussion, well, a monologue more, on a rather controversial subject, the Confederate flag. And I just have a few comments I wanted a chance to share. And this is my bully pulpit. The New Yorker magazine, let's see what date, July 6 and 13, 2015, had a lead editorial article on the Confederate flag. And it had a lot of very interesting things and useful things to say, and I enjoyed the article. However, I disagreed in part with part of what it said. I consider myself a Southerner, even though I spent most of my life up north. My father was a sixth generation Floridian. My mother was a sixth generation from Abingdon, Virginia, and roots back further before that. So both of them had great aunts and uncles and people who fought in the Civil War and some who died. So I grew up in the Southern tradition of hearing about the Civil War from the Southern perspective. And this the whole thing about the Confederate flag has been interesting to me. I agree that the flag should be pretty much not shown, should be removed, should not become a state symbol, that sort of thing. It's not because that all of what it stood for was wrong. A friend of mine pointed out that the swastika is actually a Hindu symbol. It goes back 500 years or more and has a long tradition, and yet it's still not a good idea to display the swastika because it's so strongly associated with the Nazis. And the same with the Confederate flag. In today's world, a lot of people who like the flag a lot and show it a lot are still fairly unfair racially. I don't know if prejudice is the right word, whatever. So I can see the flag bit. But here, let me read you what he starts his article off with and then tell you what I disagree with and what I agree with. He starts the article by saying this: in some future footnote or parenthetical aside, it may be observed that although General Robert E. Lee surrendered in 1865, the Confederacy's final retreat did not occur until a century and a half later. The rearguard movement of the Republicans in the aftermath of the slaughter in Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church marked the relinquishing of the Confederacy's best fortified positions, the cultural ones. We have for decades willfully coexisted with a translucent lie about the bloodiest conflict in American history and the moral questions at its center. That's how he puts it, you know. And he goes on to say that, then he quotes President Obama's eulogy at one of the people who was killed in that massacre. And at the end of the eulogy, it says, he added in reference to the Confederate soldiers that it would simply be an acknowledgement that the cause for which they fought, the cause of slavery, was wrong. Well, certainly I would agree with that. And certainly I would agree that slavery had to be ended. However, what I don't agree necessarily with was that's what people were fighting for. That was at the root, and it was wrong, and it had to change. However, if you go back in history, you'll find that many states, most of the states, I think, but I didn't do my homework, permitted slavery. And one by one, many of them threw it off and resigned, you know, resolved that they would not permit slavery. And it took many years. I'm a Quaker. I remember hearing that the Quakers, who were one of the first people to really go strongly out and speak out against slavery, it took them over 100 years to come to that position. They debated the issue for over 100 years, and many people left the Quaker church, the Quaker faith, over that issue. So it's not like it was automatically obvious to those who were there at the time, though it may be obvious to us now. And the point I want to make, I don't know, maybe I'm just trying to defend. Of course slavery was wrong. Of course it had to be abolished. But it took hundreds of years for the other states to abolish it, and yet now they wanted to cram that rule down the throats of all of the states who voted to secede. They were right to say it had to be done, but I'm not sure that forcing it to be done that way was the best way to do it. Maybe it was. And it's a fair chance it was. But I want to bring up the possibility. What the states seemed to be fighting for, what I was told, it wasn't the slavery issue. That was at the root, yes, and it was wrong. But they were fighting for the right to make their own decisions, to decide when to abolish slavery, just as all the other states had. The other states weren't forced to follow some federal policy dictated from Washington. They chose on their own to abolish slavery. And yet now, the federal government was coming in and telling all of the states that they had to abolish slavery. And they didn't like being told what to be done by the central government. They were independent states. And yes, the thing that was at the root of it was slavery, and it was wrong. But the thing that allowed them to go to war, and the thing that many of them were fighting for, was the right to be independent and make their own choices. And I think, of course, in the course of time, slavery would have been abolished. Would it have been a good thing that it went on for another 50 or 100 years? No. So maybe it had to be done this way. Maybe it was the only way. The second thing in the article that offended me was the author referred to armed insurrection. Well, here's another little issue to bring up. The Southerners did not want to conquer the North. They were not trying to force their point of view on the North. They were not asking the North to accept slavery. They were seceding. They were removing themselves and forming a new nation. And I don't know if that's the same thing as armed insurrection. It doesn't seem quite the same to me. And the parallel I want to point out is that when the Soviet Union broke up, many of the independent countries that are now countries broke away, seceded, as it were. And now Russia is out trying to conquer some of them and bring them back in. And we are strongly defending those nations, the Ukraine's the one I think of most, that seceded. And we say they had a right to secede. And yet, at that time, in the Civil War, we said the Southern states did not have the right to secede. I think it's a little more complex than the author of this article wants to make it. All right, I agree, slavery was wrong, had to be abolished. But I don't know that that means that's what all those people fighting in the war were fighting for. I don't think my relatives were fighting for slavery. I think they were fighting for the right of their states. They were fighting for their people. They were fighting for their independence. So I guess I'm still a old guard on this issue, even though I'm about as anti-slavery as you can get. And I know those people were wrong that were doing it, and they needed to learn that. But I don't see why, looking back, all the other states were allowed to make their own choice as to when they abolished slavery, and now it was going to be done by coup, by the federal government, by force of arms. Maybe that was the best way to do it. But certainly we can look at our history and say maybe that was the best solution, but it certainly wasn't a very good solution. We still have lingering hate going on now for 150 years. So anyway, that's my wombat for the night, is my own little political discussion of the Confederate flag. I think the flag should be removed because it symbolizes to those people who probably have a bad point of view, just like the swastika does. And I also agree with President Obama that the reason underneath the war, the thing that they were fighting for, was morally wrong. But I do not agree with the author of this article that the Confederacy was not really defeated until this recent round of pillaring. I think the Confederacy was defeated in war, and I think the recent round has brought up some important issues, but I still think that there are many reasons to look at the South as fighting a noble cause for the wrong reason. Underneath it was slavery, but the thing that they actually went out and got on the battlefield and fought for was to have the right to call their own shots and not be told what to do. No doubt, I have no doubt at all that eventually all of the states would have thrown over slavery, done away with it. However, some of them might have taken quite a while, and maybe we had to have a war to fix that. Okay, long wombat, and Harry the Southerner speaks. And I hope I don't come off as a racial bigot, because I don't consider myself one. So, we now move on to a transition song before going back to a lot more 50s. This is called Trucker Speed by Fred Eaglesmith. He's a Canadian singer, and this song is about truckers who take amphetamines and drugs and things to stay awake on their long-haul drives. And there are many songs about the romance of being a long-haul trucker and driving 18-wheelers, but then there are some that are about what a sad job it can be. and this is one of those.
I got a letter in an old mailbox I forgot I had. Had a little truck stop, and I read it once, and then I read it again. I could hardly keep from crying. I've been driving around the last week or so with an empty truck. I don't have a load, and I don't care, cause to tell you the truth, I think I might be dying. And it's trucker speed, pens of dream, Percocets and Fetamines, Black Beauties and West Coast turnaround. When the coast is clear, I drive with my knees, mix it all up like a recipe, Coca-Cola and coffee will wash it down. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching the ground. At the side of the road, you said you're a mess. When I told him she didn't leave an address, then he got another call, said wait right here, I'll be back in a little while. I put my head across my arms, slept on the wheel for an hour or more, and I started it up, took off into the night. And it's trucker speed, Benzedrine, Percocets and Fetamines, Black Beauties and West Coast turnaround. When the coast is clear, I drive with my knees, mix it all up like a recipe, Coca-Cola and coffee to wash it down. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching. I've been high-centered, low-throttled. When I couldn't stop, I peed in a bottle. I've been so lonesome, I made Hank Williams look like a party of five. I've been beat up, broke down, loaded on a truck and driven into town. I always thought she'd be there at the end of the line. I always thought she'd be there at the end of the line. And it's trucker speed, Benzedrine, Percocets and Fetamines, Black Beauties and West Coast turnaround. When the coast is clear, I drive with my knees, mix it all up in a recipe, Coca-Cola and coffee, wash it down. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching the ground. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching the ground. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching the ground. Thank you.
So that was Trucker Speed by Fred Eaglesmith. I've been thinking about my little monologue earlier and hope that I don't get banned from this show for speaking politically incorrect things. I want to tell you that I agree the Confederate flag should be pulled down. I agree that slavery was wrong and had to be ended. And I hope that I made that clear. The fact that I think there were some other factors affecting who went to war and why they were willing to fight may be politically incorrect in today's outrageously sensitive environment. And I hope that my point of view and my behavior show how I really feel about all this. But still, I said what I wanted to say. Well, we're moving on to another 1956 song. This is Young Love by Sonny James. And somehow, I think it catches the way love felt when you were about 17 or 16.
They say forever, boy and girl, there's just one love in this whole world. And I know I found mine. The heavenly touch of your embrace tells me no one could take your place ever in my heart. Young love. One kiss from your sweet lips will tell me that your love is real, and I can feel that it's true. We will vow to one another, there will never be another love for you or for me. Young
Young Love by Sonny James. Well, next up is something from a couple of years later, 1958. This is Poor Little Fool by Ricky Nelson. And I looked it up, and interesting story. It's funny when you look up some of these songs, some of the little stories that pop up. So listen to this. Poor Little Fool is a pop rock song written by Sharon Sheely. Sheely penned the song when she was only 15 years old. Sheely had met Elvis Presley, and he encouraged her to write. Sheely sought after Rick Nelson to record the tune. Sheely drove to Nelson's house and decided she might be able to meet the star if she claimed her car had broken. Rick came to her aid, and that was when Sheely sprang the song on him. How about that? So that's where the next song, Poor Little Fool, came from. A woman 15 years old, a girl really, sprang it on Rick Nelson by tricking him in to come out to work on her car. So this is Poor Little Fool.
Mm-hmm. in my car. But when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall for a little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool. Carefree devil eyes. She'd hold me close and kiss me, but her heart was full of lies. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool, I was a fool. Oh yeah.
She told me how she cared for me and that we'd never part. So for the very first time, I gave away my heart. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool, I was a fool. Oh yeah.
The next day she was gone and I knew she lied to me. She left me with a broken heart, won her victory. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool, I was a fool. Oh yeah.
Well, I played this game with other hearts, but I never thought I'd see the day when someone else would play love's foolish game with me. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool, I was a fool. Oh yeah,
poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool.
Poor little fool by Ricky Nelson. Well, we haven't got time for another full song, but I will play part of one. This is One Promise Too Late by Reba McEntire from 1986. And I'll start next week's show with it. So here we go.
All through the years, but I met someone before you, and my heart just couldn't wait. So no matter how much I adore you, I've got to stand behind the promise that I made.
Well, that was One Promise Too Late by Reba McEntire, and I will start next week's show with that song. You've been listening to Wombats and Music, and this is your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music on Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1, and I hope that I can give you my advice I give you every week and have you listen to it, at least think about it, and that is I encourage you to do something I try to do, which is to celebrate most joyously, our being here at all.